Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Hey guys, it's Brandon Adams. We are live in Augusta, Georgia. You know, I've never made any secrets about the fact that I'm a Georgia Bulldogs fan, UGA fan. We talk about that here on Dog Nation Daily each and every day. In addition to that, like so many of you, I'm also a proud Georgian. I love the state of Georgia, and I got to tell you, this week I think is the state of Georgia at its best, and right where we are right now is one of the main reasons for that. Obviously, the Masters is in town. We are so lucky today to be here, getting a chance to experience the par 3 event later on, walk the course, and see these hallowed grounds that for so many of us who care about golf, certainly treat Augusta National as. What a great way to get Masters Week started. We are incredibly lucky to be here. The weather today is going to be beautiful wherever you are. If you're settling in to watch some of the TV coverage a bit later on, I hope you get ready to enjoy that. Maybe you can find your way out to a patio or something along those lines. It's going to be a great day here in the state of Georgia, and of course we're really excited about being a part of that. Before we get into the business of the day, I'll also let you know that while this is not like an official Dog Nation event, for those of you watching us live on video right now, we did bring some gear to give away. We'll be kind of where we are right now until 11. It's 2422 Washington Road. It's literally just on the side of the road here. But it's 2422 Washington Road. So if you live in Augusta, if you're near Augusta, walk on by here and say hello to us. We got some stuff to give away. We'd love to say hello to you. We can't hang around long after the show because we do have to get inside the gates. But we would love to certainly meet you, and thanks for your support here of Dog Nation Daily for those of you in the Augusta area. So we're obviously excited about all of that. Now, despite the fact that we are in Augusta for the golf later on, of course, we've got some major business to take care of from the football world of things today. And on today's show, we're going to be incredibly busy. A little bit different format, which probably impacts the radio audience and the podcast audience a bit more than the video folks do. But I think we've got a pretty good trade-off for a show that's a little bit different than you've come to expect. Would you like to hear from Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm today? You'll get a chance to do that later on in the program. I'm also fascinated by some words you're going to hear from Georgia linebacker Nate McBride coming up in a couple moments. Let's face it, McBride has been one of the number one sources of curiosity for many Georgia fans going back now the last couple of years. He was a big-time recruit, top 10 linebacker in the country for the class of 2017, and yet at least in terms of the major linebacking unit, the major defensive work on the field, he hasn't quite found his home yet at the University of Georgia. When you hear McBride on that subject today, if you don't already like him, I think you're going to like him even more after this discussion, because McBride's got a great perspective on all of this. We'll do that as a part of today's show. Also, Mike Griffith coming up in a couple of minutes as well. A chance to talk to Mike after Georgia practice yesterday. So Mike's got some interesting things to say about what happened on the field, what Georgia players have had to say as the Dogs now getting much closer to G-Day. So it's very busy for us coming up on Dog Nation Daily live from Augusta throughout our program here today. Let me also kind of start with this as well. We had a chance to talk to a bunch of Georgia players yesterday, and among the most interesting conversations we were able to be a part of was one involving Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. Now, coming up later on, you're going to hear a bit from Swift on how he feels about his role in this offense in 2019, and spoiler alert on that, he feels pretty good about maybe an expanded role in this offense, even more carries this season than he had a year ago. That's coming up in a moment. Before that, though, it's actually Swift on another player that I wanted to talk about a bit here, because just the same way that Nate McBride is a major source of curiosity for many Georgia fans, another guy who I think you would say the same thing about is wide receiver Demetrius Robertson. Now, by this point in time, people are familiar with the Robertson story. He was a five-star recruit in the class of 2016. At one point in time, it looked like he might come to Georgia. His recruitment stretched past National Signing Day. He ends up signing with Cal. He goes to Berkeley, becomes a freshman All-American, and then homesickness, injury, whatever you want to say, 2017 was not a good year for Robertson, and he transfers to Georgia. Last year, when he arrived on the UGA campus, he was well-received. Excitement, certainly from me, but the idea of a receiver that could stretch the field and blow the top off a defense, I thought Robertson might very well do those things for Georgia last year. But as many of you are well aware, that just didn't happen. Robertson never quite found his home on the field that much for Georgia either. Wasn't really targeted very much. Didn't record a catch. However, in 2019, Robertson's been steadfast, apparently, in his work to make this year a different story than a year ago. Apparently, he's more comfortable at Georgia now, and he's doing a lot more of the things that Georgia coach Kirby Smart, wide receivers coach Cortez Hangton and offensive coordinator James Coley want him to do. What would lead us to believe that that kind of stuff is going on at Georgia practice? Because yesterday, Georgia running back DeAndre Swift threw a lot of compliments to Demetrius Robertson's direction. Swift, as you know, is a pretty good ally to have on your side. If anybody knows what it takes to succeed in the SEC, DeAndre Swift's the kind of guy that's certainly capable of doing that. And he believes, apparently, that Robertson's on his way to doing that, too. So here on Dog Nation Daily, we're in Augusta, but let's take you back to Athens, let you see and hear what DeAndre Swift said about Demetrius Robertson yesterday. I think you're going to find this to be pretty interesting. Here's DeAndre Swift.
Tyler Simmons is doing a great job. D-Rob had pretty much almost the best spring out of anyone. He's came along real well. Really happy to see him making plays. J.J. Holloman going up getting the vertical ball. My man Matt Landers had a great spring so far. Everybody in the receiver room, Kyrus Jackson. I mean, I can name everybody. Everybody's doing good for us right now.
To follow up on that, you say D-Rob's had about the best spring of anybody. What specifically have you seen from him?
Vertical threat. Speed, just consistency. I mean, had not really too many drop balls in practice, so he's just doing a great job. I'm happy to see him get his confidence up too. I'm sure it was rough on him. Coming into an environment like this, having high expectations like he had. But like I said, he had a great spring so far. So I think when people come to GDA, they'll see the hard work that he has put in and results.
Stretching the field in particular, anything particular that he's really jumping out and doing well?
Like I said, consistency. I mean, he hasn't really dropped any balls. He's been a great vertical threat for us this spring.
But I find that from DeAndre Swift to be pretty fascinating on the subject of Demetrius Robertson. Now, I think we also have to add to that some of the things that Smart has said about Robertson so far this spring. And Smart has been complimentary but also challenging at times too. So I think that Robertson is in the midst of this competition for wide receiver right now. But to hear DeAndre Swift say he's among the most impressive guys in the team this spring, the fact that he's approaching practice each day with a level of consistency, the fact that he is able to run those deep routes and use that speed, I mean, let's face it, that's what we want to see Demetrius Robertson doing for those of us who are UGA fans. That's what we want to see him doing in a Georgia uniform this fall, blowing that top off of defense. It's one of the reasons why when I heard Smart on Saturday say that Robertson's doing some work on the inside as a potential slot receiver, listen, I'd love to see Robertson on the field however he can get there, but it's really his potential as an outside receiver, running the deep routes, you know, showing off that speed. We already know that he can catch the ball and haul it in the major college level. As I said, he put up a really good freshman season at Cal. The fact that DeAndre Swift says, from my perspective, I've seen him do some of those things, that gets me really excited. And I think it leads us to G-Day on April 20th, where if Robertson is a big part of this offense on that day, no matter which quarterback's throwing the ball to him, if he's hauling in a touchdown, if he's getting catches, if he's targeted a bunch on routes, then, yeah, I do think that sets up a really fun competition this summer. As we said yesterday, let's face it, when the new receivers arrive on campus for the summer, when it is Dominic Blaylock, who Kirby Smart's talked a lot about, when it is George Pickens, who I've talked a lot about, when it's Lawrence Cager, who actually put up more stats than some people realize in a Miami Hurricanes uniform a year ago, the competition's even more intense then than it is now. So the time is now for guys to make a name for themselves. And the good news is, when it comes to Demetrius Robertson, according to DeAndre Swift, he's doing just that. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily today. We're live on video, 10 a.m. As always, on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, and on the Twitter feed as well. We're on the radio today at noon, once again on the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. Had a great time hanging out with them this morning, as I do each and every Wednesday on the morning show there on 960 The Ref. And we are available in the podcast form pretty much wherever you find podcasts. The Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. We're just glad you found us here today. And as I said before, I know on shows when the format's a little bit different, we're on remote, it probably impacts the podcast and radio audience more so than it does some of the folks watching on video. So we appreciate you being with us, no matter which platform you choose to be with us. And speaking of choosing to be with us, I hope you'll do that a week from today. I told you about this yesterday, and my excitement for this is growing just the same way my excitement for G-Day is growing next Saturday. How about a week from today, starting at 6 p.m., Dog Nation will be live once again at the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody, right there on Dunwoody Village Parkway. This has really kind of become a home away from home for us. We love Marlowe's Taverns in general. The Dunwoody location is one of our favorites just because of how nice the patio is, and especially this time of year. I mean, can you imagine? Come on, y'all. Good weather next Wednesday, getting ready for the spring game, previewing that the Marlowe's in Dunwoody starting at 6 p.m. And the great news is it won't just be me who's going to be there. Our buddy, the legendary former Georgia Bulldog, John Stinchcomb, is going to be there too. John remains an incredibly influential figure around the UGA program, so he'll talk about his own memories from G-Day and what he expects to see this up, or at the, well, at the time will be this upcoming Saturday, two Saturdays from right now. How about John Stinchcomb, you and me, all together next week, Wednesday starting at 6 p.m., the Marlows in Dunwoody for our spring game preview. Cannot wait to see you there for that. Here on Dog Nation Daily, live from Augusta, Georgia, let me also kind of swing the transition back around to this. As we go around the doghouse here today, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and it's already been a really fun spring around UGA. We've had a chance to see some cool stuff at practice. We've had a chance to enjoy the build-up from fans for G-Day, and we've had a chance to talk to some really interesting Georgia players who share some really honest, thoughtful perspectives about the upcoming season. However, of all the players that we've talked to over the course of the spring, I don't personally feel I've enjoyed any conversation as much as I enjoyed the conversation yesterday, long-ranging conversation that we were able to be a part of with Georgia linebacker Nate McBride. Now, I'm going to show you part of my discussion with McBride. I'll also invite you to check out a longer video and story that Chip Towers has up at DogNation.com. I don't have to tell many of you what the story involving McBride is. McBride, much like the guy we just heard from, Demetrius Robertson, is a guy that Georgia fans have had to be patient waiting on. This is a guy that Dog fans want to see on the field. Number six linebacker in the country for the class of 2017. He was one of the collection of UGA players in that class, the first real big breakthrough class for Georgia, who did commitment videos for Dog Nation. Remember the cool video of him where he's got the sports car or the big truck, whatever it was. It was a great video. It was a great start to what has been kind of a golden era for Georgia football, that 2017 class was. And yet on the field, McBride just hasn't quite yet found his home in this linebacking core. He's an important part of UGA special teams, but he and Georgia fans would like to see him be more part of the linebacking core. But, of course, this linebacking core right now is as deep as any in college football. What Georgia's done to that position recruiting-wise in 2018, 2019 has been nothing short of spectacular. How does McBride feel about that, and what is his own attitude about fighting through that competition to get on the field? I think you're going to like this with Nate McBride as much as I do. So here from Augusta, Georgia, how about a great, true DGD on the field right now for the Georgia Bulldogs? Here is some really fascinating stuff with Georgia linebacker Nate McBride as a part of Dog Nation Daily.
You know, you mentioned Roquan Smith a moment ago, maybe because of him. Last two recruiting classes, Georgia has recruited your position almost as well as anyone ever has. It'd be easy to get discouraged knowing there's so much talent in your group, especially younger than you. How have you processed all that, knowing that they've brought in some really impressive linebackers the last two recruiting classes?
Let me think of how to describe this. It's cool, honestly, just seeing younger guys that are better than you, because you're like, oh, I'm older, I'm going to be better. That's not true. I mean, they're working, and it's just all a part of God's plan, and I can't rush it. Like I said earlier, I can't rush it. I can't hope for something that's, you know, not going to be there, but I mean, I want to play here, and I expect to play some, so, but it's just all a part of me. It's only on me.
You didn't feel any frustration or anything, you know, just seeing those younger guys, just seeing those older guys kind of take the step and, you know, playing consistently throughout the seasons?
I mean, I was proud for them because, I mean, being that young and getting to play in games like that, it was cool. And it just showed me that I needed to work harder.
In my job, I talk to a lot of Georgia fans. Do you get the sense for how popular you are? I can't think of a better way to ask the question than that. A lot of people are really curious about what is going on with you. Do you get the sense of that? Do you notice that? Do you feel that?
I mean, I can feel it a little bit, but I try not to focus on that. I love all the Dog Nation fans. I mean, every one of them's great. So I just appreciate the ones that follow me specifically, and especially the ones who follow this entire team.
So really good stuff from Georgia linebacker Nate McBride there, and I've said this a million times, I think it's worth repeating that when it comes to a lot of these guys, and it seems like the 2017 class has more of those than the other classes have for Georgia right now, when you look at some of those four-star signees who haven't played a lot yet, or at least haven't played as much yet as many fans want them to, I think sometimes there's a temptation to say that something's wrong. Something's wrong with the player, something's wrong with the coaches for not getting more out of them. And yet what you see at Georgia right now is such an unprecedented level of talent. The roster that Georgia has never been deeper than it is right now. I don't think the absence of playing time, even for a really good player, and McBride, going back to his time in high school, certainly seems to have every indication that he can be a really good player. I don't think that's necessarily an indication that something's wrong. I tell you what's right, though, is the attitude that McBride approaches all of this with. Because let's face it, a lot of guys facing what McBride has dealt with in terms of the competition on the field would have just tucked tail and run. McBride's got apparently more fortitude than that. He's got an incredible level of character, an incredible level of perspective about all of this, and that benefits Georgia. It benefits right now from a leadership standpoint, and before his career in Georgia is done, there's still a lot of that left for McBride. I think it's going to benefit him on the field as well, and when that happens, Georgia fans will be thrilled to see that. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, this is the time of year that a lot of you are doing some spring cleaning. When you're down there in the basement doing stuff like that, you notice some things that maybe you never saw before. A crack in the foundation, a wet spot right there in the basement. Get down there in the crawl space, it feels a little damp to you. That can be kind of a nervous situation. That can make you concerned. It can seem like a serious problem. The good news is it's easier to fix than you might think when you trust pros, true experts like my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. They're the ones that Dog Nation trusts because they have a full-time engineer on staff. You don't want to depend on somebody that's not an expert doing something like this. You want a full-time engineer. That's why you want to trust Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And their phone number, very easy to remember, 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. Please check out my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. All right, we're live here in Augusta, Georgia for Dog Nation Daily here today. Still to come on our program, we'll hear more from Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. We'll hear some really cool stuff from Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. But for now, on Wednesdays, you've come to expect Mike Griffith. Mike, interesting insight on having seen Georgia practice yesterday, but also Mike heard some pretty interesting things from Kirk Herbstreit and Dabo Swinney, the Clemson coach, over the weekend too. We talk all about that with Mike Griffith as a part of Dog Nation Daily right now. Here from Augusta, it's great to have you with us. Here on Dog Nation Daily, we are in Athens, Georgia, where Georgia finished up its practice and players met with the media a moment ago. Brandon Adams, Mike Griffith, for those of you watching on video, I'll also say that, you know, last week Jeff Sintel was standing the same place you're standing right now, and it's a very misleading position here on the sidewalk. I feel like I'm coming down, kind of down in a hole. You and Jeff kind of both standing up prominently here. I guess that's representative of the true stature of you and Mr. Sintel, I guess.
I guess that's what it is, B.A.
So we got a chance to hear from some Georgia players a moment ago. Takeaways. DeAndre Swift, having a chance to hear from him in particular, I thought was really interesting because, I mean, let's face it, we saw in November last year DeAndre Swift become one of the top players in college football. And it's easy, I think, for fans, myself included, to imagine what if it was that version of Swift in September and October? How much better could Georgia have been? You know, is Swift the kind of guy that could have been in New York City as a Heisman finalist a year ago? And maybe now in 2019 we'll get a chance to see what a full year's worth of DeAndre Swift as the featured running back for Georgia actually looks like.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Kirby Smart said earlier this spring he was going to put as much volume as DeAndre could handle. And DeAndre was in there just a few moments ago telling us how he's taking all the reps in practice. There's no contact jersey. And honestly, B.A., most of the other programs I've covered, you know, when you've got a marquee or a star athlete like there, you put him in a yellow jersey or a white, you know, and a no-hit jersey, right? Because you got to protect this guy. He's the bell cow. That's not what's happening at Georgia this spring. Kirby's putting him through the ropes, and Swift says that's the way it ought to be. He doesn't want to be treated any differently than Brian Harrion or James Cook. He wants those repetitions. He wants to prove he can be durable.
The other thing that he talked about is how important it is to have that running back to complement him. And at Georgia, it's a really interesting competition. Right now, I would imagine that Brian Harrion's probably leading the way because Kirby Smart's told us that James Cook's not healthy right now, not 100% healthy anyway. Samir White's not practicing at all. And so it sounds like Swift's got some confidence in Harrion and James Cook as well, but there's also clearly an excitement about what it might look like, hopefully this summer, when Zamir White's practicing again. It was interesting to also hear DeAndre Swift talk about the other Georgia running backs as well.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I kind of have this concept of the Georgia backfield. And, you know, I know these guys are very versatile and they can do it all. But you kind of get the feeling that Swift and Cook are kind of the guys that catch the ball out of the backfield and run the sweeps. And Harrion and Zamir might be a little bit more oriented between the tackles. Now, that's not to say that Cook and Swift can't run between the tackles on a draw or maybe even on the first down. But if I were going to look to see who does what best, I think Zamir and Brian are probably the between the tackles guys who may catch a pass on occasion. So to me, it is an important room. It needs to be deep because now, BA, it's a 15-game season.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Georgia fans certainly love the idea of that 15-game season potentially coming up here in 2019. On Saturday, Georgia coach Kirby Smart talked about Jake Fromm being as experienced as he is now. One of the challenges is you got to make sure he doesn't get bored during practice. So I asked, you know, Jake today, you know, how do you fight against that boredom? How do you fight to stay engaged? And I thought that Jake gave a really interesting answer, which I think leads you in the direction of what 2019 is really about for Fromm. We know that he's a good quarterback. This is a confident, competent, capable signal caller. But the issue for Georgia and for Fromm himself in 2019 is, can he take that next step towards greatness? Can he do the kind of work now that lays the foundation for Fromm to be a historically good quarterback in Georgia standards and to go alongside guys like Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa here in the deep south that give their teams, Alabama and Clemson, such a chance to win? It's a big year for Jake Fromm, and it was interesting to hear him today talk about the process he's going through now, both in terms of developing chemistry with his wide receivers, but also sharpening his own skill set to make sure that he can make 2019 the year it can be.
Yeah, it's really about making the players around you better in a Tom Brady kind of way. It doesn't seem to matter who you put around Tom Brady. You know, everyone around him plays better. And I think Jake is at a position in his career now where he understands the offense enough where he can help teach it. Or as he was talking about Dwan Mathis today, a guy that he was very excited about, and helping Dwan learn how to learn or helping these receivers understand things a little bit better. As much as Jake was the leader in the clubhouse last year, BA, I think this year, because of the dynamics at the quarterback position, you know, now he's clearly the guy, and Dwan Mathis is clearly the two, or Stetson Bennett is clearly the two. It's all about Jake. It's not about worrying about what some other quarterback thinks or how many repetitions they get or, you know, what their parents might say about the headline. It's Jake Fromm's team.
Yeah, and certainly, and he spoke today with the confidence that would come from being fully in control and fully in charge of this team this year. And also, to go back to something else from Saturday, one thing we've heard from Kirby a lot this spring is that the experience that Fromm has not only helps him be a better player, but you mentioned Stetson Bennett and Dwan Mathis. Them getting a chance to learn from Fromm is also an important part of this as well. Individually, both Bennett and Mathis have said, yes, we do want to learn from Jake. And so this is one of those instances where the experience that he's gained really has the opportunity to benefit the entire program, including that race to be the primary backup behind him right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Not only making himself better, but let's think about James Coley and all the different things now that Georgia can do on offense, because you do have an experienced quarterback and Kirby Smart over there, you know, being a defensive-minded coach. I've covered a few of these guys like Mark D'Antonio, certainly, and Gene Stallings, and they don't want the quarterback to get you beat. And for an offense to open up and have a coach like Kirby, you've really got to earn his trust. And I think Kirby has the trust in Jake now to tell Coley, go ahead and do some different things, and I think we're going to see some different things.
I want to talk about a couple of things you've written recently at DogNation.com. Let me squeeze in one more thing from what happened in Athens on Tuesday before we get there. You know, Nate McBride is a guy that, with our audience, is incredibly popular. He's a big-time recruit coming out of Vidalia, Georgia. And when you have big-time recruits like that, when they don't immediately find a home on the field, at least in terms of the linebacker core, a lot of Georgia fans are curious, well, when is this going to happen? I thought McBride today, getting a chance to talk to him, he was incredibly insightful and honest and introspective about the challenge that's going on at Georgia. I mean, I posed the question to him this way, that there's a chance that Georgia's recruited his position as well as anyone ever has. You know, the linebackers that Georgia signed in 2018 and 2019, that is an unprecedented crop of talent, and that's younger guys than McBride, in some cases pushing him down the depth chart. But what I was impressed with, and I think the fans are going to be impressed with too, the more they digest some of the things that Nate had to say on Tuesday, what I think is really impressive is that McBride's not shying away from this competition. He's not backing down. And, boy, you want to talk about an incredible spirit in this Georgia locker room right now? For me, McBride seems to have it, even though up to this point his career hasn't panned out the way that he would like for it to.
Well, I mean, there are depth issues. I mean, you know, part of being a really talented, well-stocked team like Georgia has is there's going to be competition for positions. And everybody that comes in here was the best in their region. You know, there's so many four- or five-star guys that there's no shame in not being a starter at Georgia as a first- or a second-year player. I mean, in some cases, you may have to wait until your third or fourth year. And, you know, there are options for Nate McBride. The transfer portal is right there. But clearly, he loves this school. And as you said, he's embraced the competition. N'Kobe Dean, I mean, there's only 11 spots to put on the field, BA, and there's only four linebackers, so you can't have them all out there, although I do think Kirby will probably continue with the committee until somebody takes charge.
And I didn't get a chance to ask Nate this. I'm sure somebody may have. But I wonder if he takes comfort in knowing another linebacker in a similar situation, Tay Crowder, was patient. You know, Crowder starts off his career as a running back, and at one point in time he seemed like he was destined not to really play at all. Then he becomes a hero at the Rose Bowl in 2017 for fielding the squib kick near the end of the half. And, you know, now he's right there in the middle of that linebacking core. I mean, Crowder's an example I hope that McBride would take some solace in, knowing that sometimes patience pays off. You see some of that on the offensive line as well. A guy like Isaiah Wilson has waited his turn and now getting a chance to play. You know, I personally speaking, because I like McBride, I hope he takes some comfort in seeing some of the guys on the Georgia roster who have waited have seen their patience rewarded.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, these guys also take pride on special teams play. I know that the fans overlook that, and it's not the
good
sexiest
point.
Part of the game.
Point.
But, you know, this is where difference-making plays can happen or not happen, as we saw with the fake punt. But this is an area where you want to have your best players on the field, and when you're well-stocked like an Alabama or like a Clemson or like a Georgia, these coaches aren't afraid to put these athletes out there, and McBride has certainly earned his repetitions.
Speaking of Clemson, you were there on Saturday. A couple of interesting pieces of content came out of your presence there in Death Valley. First of all, Dabo Swinney, very open, the fact that these upcoming series against Georgia, he'd like to see more of those, and that's, I think, for me, an eye-opening statement. You got to understand something. I grew up as a child of the 80s, Mike, and when I was a kid, Georgia-Clemson was as big a rivalry as Georgia had.
Yeah.
Back in those, you know, great days of the Danny Ford, Vince Dooley era, Clemson won its national championship, Georgia won its, a lot of very close games. You know, the idea that Clemson at the height of its program right now says, you know what, we need to play Georgia more, we ought to be playing them more. From a Georgia standpoint, that's also, for me, a no-brainer because Georgia's competing against Clemson in the recruiting trail so much. Fun to hear Swinney say what he said this week. What did you take of his comments?
Yeah, well, I believe the only regular season game that Herschel Walker ever lost was to Clemson, if I'm not mistaken. But I think that Dabo's a lot like Kirby. You know, you look at these guys and draw the parallels. They both played SEC football. They both played on championship-level programs. Dabo won a national title, and Kirby was a two-time All-SEC guy at Georgia. They understand the value of these marquee games. They understand that players want that. And sure, there's more of a risk, but there's a payoff. You get an opportunity to play a championship-caliber program, and you get to recruit to that game. And then from a proximity standpoint, as the crow flies, Clemson is actually closer than Georgia Tech,
yeah.
58 miles versus 60. Now, you got to drive 80 miles to get there, but still, it's a school that's close enough, as Dabo said. Why are we going all the way to A&M when we can just drive 80 miles over there to Athens? So I think Dabo recognizes the value of the game to the fans,
yeah,
as well as to his program.
And I know it's a controversial subject to bring up Georgia Tech because there are a lot of Georgia fans that still value the rivalry known as clean old-fashioned hate. But I got to tell you, when you look at what you have to gain from a nationally recognized series like Georgia-Clemson would be, for the foreseeable future, unless Jeff Collins, you know, pulls a rabbit out of a hat there at Georgia Tech, that rivalry, as historic as it has been, it's not going to have the same stature of a series with Clemson, or I'd add to that Florida State, because I think that's an interesting regional rival too, and then some of the national stuff between Texas, maybe one day a place like Oklahoma, all that I think is just a very interesting place for Georgia to go from a scheduling standpoint.
Well, you know, it's playing Georgia Tech is a no-win situation. If you believe that Clemson football is going to be successful for years, you're going to have to compete against them on the recruiting trail anyway. You're going to have to jockey in the national ratings with them anyway. But in order for Georgia Tech to be a valuable game, they have to be a good program. And if they're a good program, that means they're recruiting against you. So why would you want to give Georgia Tech that game that they can recruit to?
Yeah.
It helps Georgia Tech to play Georgia. If you're not playing Georgia Tech and they're not a good team, they're going to have a hard time catching up. But if you're playing them annually, they can recruit to that game and point to that, and you're giving up a home game every other year to play a 500 team.
Let me wrap up with this. You got a chance to also, while you're at Clemson, catch up with the tremendous ESPN personality Kirk Herbstreit. We all remember back in December, Herbstreit was a very outspoken proponent of Georgia. A lot of Georgia fans didn't like Herbstreit going into December, and yet with Herbstreit vouching for Georgia as much as he did, I imagine a lot of Georgia fans have maybe changed their opinion on him, the same way that all, you know, big-time national analysts are going to be lightning rods. Herbstreit is one. I think he earned a lot of favor with Georgia fans for the way that he vouched for Georgia to be a part of the college football playoff. I hope people check out the piece that you have coming up, or the pieces you have coming up at DogNation.com with Herbstreit over the course of the next couple of days, but just in general, knowing that he was a pretty strong proponent of Georgia at the end of last season, how did you find his taste for Georgia heading into the 2019 campaign?
Well, Kirk has been a big proponent of Jake Fromm and Kirby Smart. I mean, these are people people he believes in. And, you know, as some Georgia fans have explained to me, there was a time when he said something else that wasn't in Georgia's favor, and they didn't like that. I can assure you, Herb Street's the kind of guy that he says what's on his mind. And right now, he's very high on Georgia. He's very high on Jake Fromm, and he's very high on the recruiting that Kirby's done. And he believes that this recruiting is going to come into fruition and that Georgia's going to be a championship-caliber program. I mean, I worked up – Kirk was there to work the Clemson game. He wasn't there to talk about Georgia. And I just pulled him aside and said, hey, man, I know you haven't done any prep work for this, but I want to ask you about Georgia. And he, sure. And he, what do you want to know? I mean, he was embracing doing that interview on Georgia. And as many questions I wanted to ask about the Bulldogs, he was excited to answer. And, you know, those commentators, you got to remember, they have to do their homework when they cover the nation. He was there to talk about Clemson, and yet he was willing to say, look, I don't know all the new names yet, Mike, but I've got confidence they're going to emerge because of the way Kirby recruited.
Well, I think it's an interesting anecdote because, let's face it, years ago, a Georgia, you know, storyline for a big national analyst in the middle of the offseason, they may not have known as much about Georgia then.
Or refused the interview.
Right, but the fact that, you know, you do have a DeAndre Swift that the nation knows about, a Jake Fromm the nation knows about, you know, a lot of, you know, upcoming stars on defense. A guy like Kirk Herbstreit can talk more Georgia off the cuff in April now because so many of these storylines are so self-evident, just given the fact that Georgia has been a very high-profile team the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I probably did 7 or 8 stories with Kirk last year. ESPN would call and say, hey, Kirk's available. If you, they weren't calling every beat writer in the country. So this is something that Kirk wants to talk about. Georgia's a program he's focused on. That tells me he anticipates some ESPN games, maybe College Game Day, and maybe Georgia in the playoff. That's why he's studied up and why he's so high on Georgia, I believe.
Well, we're doing this on a Tuesday night. I know you want to get over to Foley Field where Georgia's actually playing Georgia Tech as we're doing this interview on a Tuesday night here. I guess as we let you go, how much fun is it for you to living in Athens now, seeing the success the Diamond Dogs are enjoying? You know, this is a fun university community when the various sports teams are playing well, and right now this Diamond Dogs team is really, I think, inspiring a lot of folks, you know, moving up those national rankings and continuing their success in the SEC. You know, very hot right now in the weekends, and I guess trying to take care of some business against the in-state rival tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is really as good as it gets as far as the campus setting. I mean, this weekend there was NCAA regionals. I know the Gym Dogs over there are going to the nationals, and you know, and there's Jake Fromm. He's out on the campus getting his picture taken with fans, and the baseball team was taking 2 out of 3 from Vanderbilt and becoming the best team in the SEC. And you know, right behind us, this incredible football facility that's only going to grow. And then you've got that town. You know, good luck not gaining weight if you live here, because there's 100 places to eat and drink. And so it doesn't get any better. You know, we're standing here on an ideal 72-degree night with a full stadium, lights on, students walking around. There's really no place you'd rather be if you cover college sports.
So we'll let you get inside the ballpark and talk about the Diamond Dogs here a little bit there. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com in the days ahead. And thanks for talking to us after a pretty spirited Georgia practice here on this Tuesday.
Appreciate it, B.A., and thanks, Connor, for the camera work.
Hey guys, it's Brandon Adams back here live in Augusta, Georgia for Dog Nation Daily. Good stuff there with Mike Griffith a moment ago. And for those of you watching on video, somebody in the comments section a little earlier said that he thought that Mike and I were speaking in front of a green screen. No, not a green screen. Not then, last night in Athens. Not here today in Augusta, Georgia either. You know, when they'll let me outside of the box that I normally live in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios, I'm generally speaking pretty happy. So good to be in Athens yesterday. Good to be in Augusta here today. And we appreciate all of you being with us for Dog Nation Daily here. We've got some really fun stuff coming up before we're done. We'll hear from Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm in just a moment. We'll hear again from Georgia running back DeAndre Swift as a part of today's show as well. Really insightful things they said in Athens yesterday. Before any of that, though, let me also remind you that while Masters Week is a big-time holiday for many of you, there's actually an even bigger holiday coming up next Sunday. And as you start thinking about getting ready for Easter, I hope you'll think about your local Kroger. They've got great savings right now on boneless pork tenderloin, boneless chuck roast, Kroger spiral sliced ham, all the stuff that you need to make your Easter dinner go really well. Kroger's the place to go for all of that. My guess is they've also got some eggs that you can get ready to get dyed and get spread out in the yard. So whatever you're getting ready to do for this upcoming Easter, hope you'll make your plans, do your shopping right there at your local Kroger. And, of course, always fun to celebrate the good stuff going on here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, before we get to Jake Fromm in just a little bit, I'll also make room for plenty of your comments both here as a part of Dog Nation Daily and on our R.S. Andrews cooldown coming up for the video audience after that. Let me also get ready to let you hear a little bit more right now from Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. Now, you heard what Mike Griffith said about Swift a moment ago, that in a lot of ways, this could be a bigger role for Swift in the offense this season. And that's true for a couple of reasons. First of all, in September and October last year, let's face it, Swift was not 100% healthy. Kirby Smart didn't want to let on to that, seemingly, during some of his conversations last fall, but we found out later on from Swift himself that he'd had the groin issue that he dealt with, and that clearly seemed to hobble him at the beginning of the season. Come November, he was a very different version of himself. He was arguably among the top players in college football in the month of November, and a big reason why Georgia became a legitimate playoff contender there at the end of last season. Hopefully we'll see a fully healthy DeAndre Swift for the full 2019. Now, Robert Edwards did tell us last week on Dog Nation Daily that Swift is battling a little bit of a tender ankle right now. My guess is, while that may keep him out of G-Day at least a little bit, we may not see a ton of carries from him in Athens next Saturday. It's not going to be anything that hinders him in any way once the summer practices roll around, once the season begins in the fall. So a full year's worth of DeAndre Swift, what does that mean? Does that work out to the tune of a Heisman finalist? Does that work out to the tune of a Georgia offense that's even more dynamic than it was in 2018? Well, clearly Swift's got some thoughts about all of this, and he likes to think of himself in the center of all of that. And so I hope you enjoy DeAndre Swift from Athens last night as a part of Dog Nation Daily live in Augusta, Georgia right now.
Just stay prayed up, put God first, and just whatever that workload is that Coach Smart and the coaches decide to give me, just do it to the best of my ability.
Is that exciting for you, though, to maybe be leaned on a little bit more?
Yeah, most definitely. Get to show everybody in the country what I really could do with a high workload, so I'm ready.
So you had 32 catches last year for 300 and something. Talk about the pride you take in being a good receiver and the work you feel you put into that kind of guy.
I mean, that's big. I mean, that's one of the talents that guys best me with. So I just try to work on that every day. I think Coach Coley's doing a great job of getting the running backs involved more in the pass game. I think everybody will see that in the offense this coming up year.
With some top receivers gone, do you think running backs, yourself included, will have a bigger role in the passing game?
Yeah, just with the new changes in the offense, but like we got a lot of good receivers coming in. We got guys last year that's stepping up and doing great right now at the receiver room, so it's going to be pretty balanced as an offense.
How important is it to find that complement to you? Obviously, Elijah was 1,000 yards last year, and going along with that, what have you seen thus far from Brian or James trying to be that guy alongside with you in the top two in the running back pecking order?
Like I said, it's really no let-off. Brian been here for a long time, so it's his time to shine. I think he's been ready. He's ready. Cook is doing a great job. He knows the playbook better, so that's a big thing with him. It's just confidence. He has all the ability in the world, so just him getting out there and getting the reps in practice, getting his confidence up, he'll see the field more a lot. Waiting to see my man Zamir do when he come back healthy, so we're going to be good.
Is he chomping the bit right now?
Yeah. He told me the other day he was mad at practice. He just can't wait to get back out there. Can't wait to see what he can do for us.
What do you expect from Zamir? What do you expect from Zamir this year?
Great things. When he gets healthy, I know he's going to hit the ground running as soon as he gets to practice. I can't wait to see him back.
Should fans be excited about him? I mean, I know people want to put too much on him coming up with what he's coming off of, but the fans have the right to be excited about what he could do.
Yes, they do. I mean, he worked so hard. I mean, he got stronger. He got real strong. So I'm expecting a lot of him. Everybody is. I think he's going to be a great contributor to this team.
From Swift in the days ahead of DogNation.com. Among the more interesting things that Swift talked about is not just his feelings about his own role in the Georgia offense this season, but his excitement for those other Georgia running backs. It's obvious that he's a big believer in Brian Herring and James Cook. Why would you not be? But there's also a real excitement about what we're all going to see from Zamir White later on this summer, when White presumably is a full go for practice then and a part of this offense this fall. Now, when does Zamir White become a big part of that? Is it the Vanderbilt game? Is he fully healthy by then? I don't know. You can make a case that given, the point spread level of favorite that Georgia's going to be early in the season, you may not need a whole lot of Swift, or I should say a whole lot of White, until you get to that Notre Dame game week four. Georgia's got a luxury here to be a little patient with Zamir White if they want to be. But just because you're being patient doesn't mean you're not also excited. And the same way that on this show every day we talk about Zamir White, it's kind of interesting to hear DeAndre Swift be just as excited about Zamir White as we all are. So this Georgia running game, that nucleus of this UGA offense, I think sets up to be not just an important part of what Georgia does this season, but a ton of fun to watch once again. Because we'll obviously all fixate from time to time on how do you add more to the Georgia offense, how do you be better in goal line situations, for instance, how do you find that extra dimension of the deep passing routes. That's part of the excitement about Demetrius Robertson we let off the show with. But it's also important to continue doing what you do well. And running the football is what Georgia does well. Kirby Smart's very clear about that when he speaks on that. That means you got to have Zamir White potentially factoring into a competition with Brian Harrington and James Cook as more than a 1,000-yard rusher. You've got to have a fully healthy DeAndre Swift able to give you that 1,300 or 1,400 yards. You got to find that 2,500 yards from two guys, or at least something close to that, to be what Georgia has been the last couple of years. And it certainly seems like the crop of running backs that Georgia has right now, they are well on their way to doing that. And don't forget, G-Day is also going to be really fun for the next generation of that same running back, with guys like Kendall Milton on campus that day, seeing the atmosphere for a spring game in Athens. The future may be in good hands there as well when it comes to the school that likes to think of itself as RBU. Okay, here on Dog Nation Daily, if you're just joining us either on video or listening to us on the radio, we are in Athens, Georgia today, doing things just a little bit differently today, but having a great time doing it, giving you a chance to hear from some of the Georgia players who've given their thoughts on the current state of spring practice. The next guy I want you to get a chance to also hear from is a guy we haven't heard from, I guess, since the beginning of spring, right when practice kicked off. It's Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. I thought that on Saturday, Kirby Smart had a really interesting thing to say about Fromm. That this is such a different season for him and really different for Georgia in the now going into the 4 years that Kirby Smart's been head coach. The last 3 years, the storyline in the spring has been about a freshman quarterback. It was Fromm in 2017 who was that hotshot freshman. Before him, it was Jacob Eason in 2016. Of course, last year, everybody remembers the big-time storylines and conversation happening around Justin Fields. This year, it's a very different kind of spring. This year, it's about an experienced quarterback in Jake Fromm. More experience than any quarterback that Kirby Smart's had at his disposal, and frankly, more experience than any Georgia quarterback has been, probably dating back to the time that Aaron Murray was the UGA quarterback. Kirby even somewhat, I think, half-kiddingly said on Saturday that the issue for Jake is just not getting bored. You know, not standing there twiddling his thumbs during practice because he's so used to all that. Well, Fromm talked about that a bit on Tuesday when he met with the media, and a lot more as well. It is a big year for Fromm. He tries to take the next step with his own career. He tries to lead Georgia to the place that it's been close to the last couple of years, and Jake Fromm seems very cool and confident as he heads towards the season. Here is UGA's quarterback as a part of Dog Nation Daily.
The other day, Kirby Smart said that you know the offense so well that sometimes you have to work not to get bored during practice. How do you stay engaged when this isn't really all that new for you anymore?
Yeah, I think it comes down to me humbling myself and still taking those mental reps, you know, even when I'm not in. And I think that's huge. It's another way for me to continue learning, make the same checks, you know, do it over again, continue to do it. Trying to, you know, take whatever skills I have and turn those into habits. And that's huge for me, just trying to continue to build that habit, those good habits, and just trying to be the best football player I can be.
You know, Nate McBride's talked today, and a lot of those guys you came with in 2017 are like McBride. They were highly rated recruits, but some of them are still trying to find their way on a major role on the field. As one of this team's leaders, what is your message to guys like Nate or Notori or some of the guys that really haven't played a ton yet who about, you know, how they find their place on this roster?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you keep working. I mean, there's competition at every position. It really is tough, especially to play at this high of a level in the SEC at their positions. You know, it really is tough. And, you know, those guys keep working, keep contributing to the team because we all need the help. You know, you never know when your break's going to be. And, you know, I just always say, you know, be ready.
Kirby's mentioned a couple times being excited about some of the receivers who are on their way in, yep. Whether it be the, you know, the grad transfer Cager or the two freshmen, especially maybe even Dominic Blay like George Pickens. As a quarterback, how much have you thought about the fact that I'm working with these guys this spring, but come summer, I got three more targets are on their way in?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like your special goodie bag that you hadn't even thought about yet. You know, those are your Reese's cups in the fridge, you know, while you're eating your pizza, you know. Those guys are going to be special. You know, they really are. Can't wait to have those guys in. You know, we're going to make do what we have now because the guys we have now are pretty special as well. But we'll see during the summer. And
you know, talk about, I mentioned before, confidence. He is the picture of that heading towards this season. A lot of those hopes for a championship are certainly pinned on Fromm right now. But the weight of those expectations, I don't think is going to hold him down nor hold him back. I'm excited about seeing a little bit of him on G-Day and a lot more once the fall rolls around. I'm Brandon Adams, this is Dog Nation Daily. We're going to get ready to wrap up our regular broadcast for our radio and podcast audience right now. And we'll do so with our Gator Hater Updater. I like to remind you all of this each and every day. The fact that around here we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters, and it's been 893 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs, even in Augusta on Masters Week, that still puts a smile on our face, and we celebrate that as a part of Dog Nation Daily. One more also quick reminder as well. I mentioned this off the top of the program. A week from today, we're at the Marlows in Dunwoody starting at 6 p.m. for our spring game preview. I'll be there. Hope to see you there. And the great former Georgia Bulldog John Stinchcomb going to be there too, looking back on G-Day's past, looking ahead to what this 2019 team might look like during its spring game. We'd love to have you join us as a part of our spring game preview at Marlow's in Dunwoody a week from today, starting at 6 p.m. right there on Dunwoody Village Parkway. We're back tomorrow in the friendly confines of our Dog Nationville headquarters studios. Hope you'll be there for us at 10 a.m. And thank you so much for being a part of Dog Nation Daily, live from Augusta today.